Proverbs 3:20 says, "By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew." So this is kind of an interesting verse. I did do a little bit of research here into meteorological stuff for this one. But before we get it to that part, let's look at the first clause. By his knowledge the depths are broken up. So without looking ahead in the outline, who knows what the depths are?
Depths of the sea?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, the oceans.
Is that referring to the flood?
I believe so.
By his wisdom, the depths.
Yes, I mean it's,
up,
that's so. Definitely part of it.
Okay.
And yeah, and we're, you're stealing my points here, but that's all right.
I really did
yeah.
look ahead. I'm
yeah,
feeling
good, good.
Great right now.
And it says they are broken up, so he might break them up again, yeah. You know, by his knowledge. So yeah, let me just give you a verse to show that the depths refer to the oceans and the seas. Exodus. Exodus 15, 4 through 5. You remember when Israel was taken out of Egypt by the Lord, and then the Egyptians followed after them, and the Lord had parted the Red Sea, and then the Egyptians went there and were drowned? That's what this is speaking of. It says, "Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea, his chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone." So there the sea is referred to as the depths, right? And I'll give you just the definition of the word as well. It means something that is deep, a deep water, a deep part of the sea, or of any body of water. The great abyss of waters, the deep. Okay, so the depths here that are broken up is referring to the seas. Now, God knows how to break up the depths, and the depths are afraid of him, as it says in Psalm 77 and verse 16. I'd be afraid of him, too, if he could break me up, and he can break me up. That's why I'm afraid of him. Psalm 77 and verse 16. It says, "The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, they were afraid, the depths also were troubled." So there's a bit of a poetic language here, but clearly the depths are under the control of God, and they do what he says. And a good example of this is what you mentioned earlier, is that in the days when God flooded the earth in Genesis chapter 7, he broke up the depths. He broke up the fountains of the great deep, as it said. Genesis 7, 11 through 12. It says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." So part of what flooded the earth was, part of it came from above, because it says the windows of heaven were opened. But part of it, a lot of it, probably the majority of it, came from down below. He broke up the fountains of the great deep. And I think a really good explanation of this is in the hydroplate theory. And they theorized that there was underneath the Earth's crust, and I forget how many miles of crust, 10 miles I think it was. It's been a long time since I read the book. Walt Brown. Was that? Oh, Walt Brown... In the Beginning is the name of the book. Compelling Evidence for Creation and the Flood, I think is what it's called.
I don't remember the thickness, but I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, they say, they theorized 10 miles of crust, and then there was, I think it was 3/4 of a mile thick of water underneath that crust the whole way around the earth. And all of that earth would have pressurized that water by a certain percentage, I forget what it is, and anyway, it's pretty hard to pressurize or to compress water. It's really hard. But anyway, whenever it broke up, then that water came gushing out, and it broke up. It looks like you got the Ring of Fire, and you got the and the what's it called? The Mid-Atlantic Trench or Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah.
Mid-Atlantic something or other. Range something, you get this mountain range basically going through the middle of the Atlantic and stretching really all over the around the globe, And they theorized that's where it broke. It kind of broke the earth in half almost. The water came spraying up out of that. And it would have sprayed the whole way up into the upper atmosphere. And then some of the water would have frozen very, very cold and then rained back down on Earth. And that's how it is explained that the woolly mammoths were frozen standing up with buttercups still in their mouth and in their stomachs undigested, that they were frozen in an instant. And so it all, the hydroplate theory makes a lot of sense of all that. And that's was the fountains of the Great Deep being broken up. So it says there in Proverbs 3:20, to get back to this, by his knowledge, the depths are broken up. Now, he would have had to have planned from the very beginning when he made the earth to make the outer crust and then that layer of water underneath of it, and then planned it just so it would break up or cause it to break up in the way that it did to flood the earth. I mean, that would take a lot of knowledge, right, for all that planning. So by his knowledge, the depths are broken up. And then the second half of the verse, and the clouds drop down the dew. Now, dew, we all know what that is, but I'm going to define it anyway. It is the moisture deposited in minute drops upon any cool surface by the condensation of the vapor in the atmosphere formed after a hot day during or towards night and plentiful in the early morning. So we all know what dew is. It's that water on the grass in the morning, right? It's formed because the grass, whenever the grass cools down and the air temperature is warmer, then the vapor condenses on the grass. Just like if you had a glass of cold water and you get water on the outside of the glass, that's what's happening. The glass is colder than the air around it, and the moisture in the air ends up attaching itself to the glass and condensing on the glass. Dew is formed by the same process. Now, we're told in Zechariah 8 and verse 12 that the heavens give dew. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this because I haven't read what skeptics have to say about this, but I would bet that skeptics would say, the Bible's full of nonsense because the clouds don't drop down the dew. Dew doesn't come down from the clouds or something. And so I'm going to show you, if they do make that argument, which I wouldn't be surprised if they do, that they are wrong and the Bible's right. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 12. Zechariah, I don't know where Ecclesiastes came from. Zechariah 8, 12. It says, "For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their dew, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things." And all I wanted from there is that the heaven will give their dew. The heavens shall give their dew. So the dew comes from the heavens. Heaven is defined by extension in accordance with biblical use. It says here, number two, is the region of the atmosphere in which the clouds float, the winds blow, and the birds fly, as in the more or less poetical expressions, the clouds, wind, breath, or fowls of heaven. And then it actually gives a little other note there in the definition, rain or dew of heaven, so-called as falling or supposed to fall from the clouds. That's why I use this definition. So heaven refers to the sky, the atmosphere. Okay. Now dew comes from the moisture in the air, and the air is the heaven. Therefore, dew comes from the heaven, right? That's not rocket science, I don't think. And then we're told in Isaiah 8 and verse 4 that there are clouds of dew. Isaiah 8 and verse 4. It's kind of neat going through Proverbs here because we will eventually we'll cover almost every topic under the sun because so many things are covered in it. So I think it's a fascinating series. I'm happy to do it. Isaiah 18 and verse 4 says, "For so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest." A cloud of dew. Who knows what another name for a cloud of dew would be?
Rain cloud?
No.
Storm?
No.
Fog.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's what we would call fog today, a cloud of dew. Because remember what dew is. Dew is the moisture in the air that condenses, right? Well, fog is essentially that happening in the air itself. I will give you a definition here. Dew and fog are formed by the same process. This is from Wikipedia on their article on dew. It says, water vapor will condense into droplets depending on the temperature. The temperature at which droplets form is called the dew point. When surface temperature drops, eventually reaching the dew point, atmospheric water vapor condenses to form small droplets on the surface. This process distinguishes dew from those hydrometeors, meteorological occurrences of water, which form directly in air that has cooled to its dew point, typically around condensation nuclei, such as fog or clouds. The thermodynamic principles of formation, however, are the same. Dew is usually formed at night. So dew and fog form by the same process. It's by the air cooling, the molecules in the air condensing because of the air cooling down. That's what fog is. And if you look at fog, you look really closely, you can see little specks of water floating around. That's what fog is. So since clouds are water vapor in the air, that's what clouds are, right? And dew is water vapor in the air that is condensed on the ground, therefore it can be said that clouds drop down the dew because clouds are water vapor. And where does the water vapor come that ends up being dew? It comes from water vapor in the air, which are clouds, right? So the clouds drop down the dew. And clouds drop down the dew because God in his amazing knowledge designed it that way. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what the Bible is talking about when it said in the Garden of Eden that a mist came up from the garden and watered the garden, if it wasn't something like that where every morning the garden would be watered like dew, essentially, and they didn't have rain before the flood. So that will take us to Proverbs 3:21.